What I'm supposed to talk about tonight is the baptism with the Holy Spirit and some frequently asked questions about the baptism with the Holy Spirit. All right? So if you have questions about the baptism with the Holy Spirit, you came to the right place tonight. I want to start by reading the first time it ever happened. So if you want to turn with me, we're going to go to Acts chapter 1. What we're going to do is we're going to look at all four times in the book of Acts where we see the baptism of the Holy Spirit happening, and we get some level of detail. Some of the stories have more detail than others. Some have very few details. But I think if we combine them all together, we can get a really good picture of what this is all about. All right? So Acts chapter 1, starting in verse 4. This is Jesus has risen from the dead at this point. He has spent 40 days speaking to his disciples, and he's about to ascend back to the right hand of the Father. He's standing with a group of people that he's been training for 3 years. He's been training these people, teaching them, showing them how to imitate him, showing them how to preach the good news, how to heal the sick, how to cast out demons, how to minister to people that are hurting. And so they've been having one-on-one training with the Son of God in the flesh, which is pretty awesome. Can you imagine getting to sit around the campfire at night and ask Jesus, why did you do it that way? That would be pretty cool, wouldn't it? I mean, if there's ever been a good teacher walking the earth, it was then. But then he makes this statement. This is verse 4. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it is not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to all the ends of the earth. Now, it always struck me funny here that the people that have been trained in person by Jesus, according to Jesus that he spoke out of his own mouth, he said, you're not ready. You need to wait for what I'm going to give you. Being trained in person by Jesus is not enough. That is strange, isn't it? You ever thought about that? According to Jesus, being trained in person by him did not give them all they needed. So if I relate that to me today, I wasn't trained in person by Jesus. So I definitely need whatever they're about to get. If they need it, I really need it. All right, so a couple days go by, 10 days actually. Then we come to chapter 2. Before I do that, I want to write down two things. Jesus said they were going to receive power that was going to enable them to be witnesses. This word power here is the Greek word
dunamis.
Yes. This word power here is the Greek word dunamis.
Dynamite.
This is the word that's chosen in the Bible when a miraculous power is on display. This is not electric company power. This is miracle power. And he said, you are going to get this. I'm going to give you miracle power. To me, that's pretty awesome. And then it says, then you shall be witnesses. Another way you could look at this, I'll give you power to be representatives. I want you to have equipment and power to represent me. That's what he's saying. I want you to have the power you need to represent me, to show people what I'm like. It's kind of like if you have a guy who is a foreman who is having a house built, and people are out there hammering in the nails, and the foreman drives up and says, I want to give you something that's going to help you do this better. And he gives everybody nail guns. He gives them a power tool to help them do their job better, to help them do whatever it is better, whatever it is. All right, so let's take a look at what this looks like when the first time anybody's ever received it. So chapter 2 of Acts, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, and they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house while they were where they were sitting. I like the word rushing there. We're going to come back to that. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Couple of things I like to point out in this. When we read the previous couple of verses, Jesus says you're going to receive power. Wait until you get this power. So this power is his idea, not their idea. They weren't sitting around begging him to send his power. He's the one that came up with it. So this whole thing is initiated by God, and he wants you to have it more than you want to have it. So you're, yeah.
I've always wondered, why did he tell them to wait? I can't figure that out.
I have I'm wondering that question myself. Some verse there says, I could do nothing of myself but of what the Father lets me do. So that means he cannot bestow upon his disciples the power. Only God can give them the power. But he could point them in that direction.
That's good.
That's all I can think. That's what he couldn't give it to him.
So
only God can give it to you. So what happens? Step back and I'm still flush.
That's right, because it wasn't poured out until Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father, and it says he received from the Father, however this works, because who understands the Trinity? I sure don't. But somehow, the picture we get later on in the book of Acts, chapter 2, it says that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the Father and he received the promised Holy Spirit and then he poured that out on his church. Okay? Now, we get these pictures of the Holy Spirit being like a water or like a cloud, but he's a person. So the Holy Spirit is a person in the same way that Jesus is a person, whatever that means when you apply it to those guys. Your question is a long answer, but the day of Pentecost was one of the day of Pentecost was a feast, one of the feast days of Israel, and it happened on a certain day. It was 7 weeks after the day of after the first Sunday after Passover. Jesus is crucified on Passover. He is raised from the dead on the day of first fruits, and then 7 weeks later, in the Hebrew time frame, there's the day of Pentecost, which is they celebrate the beginning of the harvest. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit came on the day that God planned for it to come on. This is the only time, this is important, this is the only time anybody was ever told to wait. No other time has anybody ever been told to wait. Since then, it's always available right now. All right? The only time people had to wait was because of that, the way that God designed the time to work out with the feast days. But in all three of the other examples we're going to look at, nobody was ever told to wait. They weren't told it's not God's timing right now.
Well, I think maybe my question kind of goes with what Al was saying, is you can't receive that, the baptism holds that power from God directly. So did Jesus have to wait until he sat on the right hand of God, and hence the waiting wait until he got there? Because when you said that, I just imagine, you know, we can't see God's face. It illuminates so bright and we can't look at it. So you have it's like he's bringing it to you through God as his filter because it's so awesome and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
So the waiting part is when he ascended to sit on the right hand of God, and then that's when I got it.
Yeah. And that's the only, like I said, that's the only time in the Bible people were told to wait. Okay? I've said that about 3 times now. But
it was 10 days, right, Neil?
It was 10 days.
And they're all in one accord.
Yep.
So they had to get everybody jammed in that Honda Accord.
Yep.
It took 10 days to get everybody in that car, right?
Yep. That was a lot of work.
I can see that.
That was that was some of that miracle power. The Bible says that it came like a rushing wind, not a reluctant wind. It gives you the picture that the Holy Spirit could not wait, like he was so ready to do this. And I find that to be true with him now. He loves doing that. He loves to come and give us power. Thinking like this helps you get out of this wrong idea that we're trying to beg God to come do something when he's the one that wants to do it more than we do.
It was his idea.
It was his idea. He made this plan. Again, people didn't get together and try to come up with a way to beg God to do all this. Lord, it would be really neat if you would make a way that we could go out and demonstrate your power. Would you send your power? No, God told them this and they didn't even understand it. And he sent it anyway. Like he initiated it. He wants you to have this, is the point I'm trying to make.
I got one point on that. The day of Pentecost, there was thousands of Jews from all around. So it was a perfect time for them to speak in all these other languages.
Yeah.
All these different dialects were represented. So everybody heard these Galileans speaking in all these different tongues. And he said, what meaneth this?
Yep.
You know, Peter got up and he probably preached in Greek. Because 3,000 people. One sermon, 3,000 people
yep.
saved.
Amen.
Perfect time.
A perfect timing.
I often think about that miracle. I think, they weren't really speaking with people's minds, but
the people hearing it.
Yeah. In their minds, the word that they heard.
Yeah.
Their language.
Okay. A lot of people debate that thing. Well, whatever it was awesome. So, look at this. There's about 120 people there, it says, in this room when this happened. This is another thing that you see whenever the baptism of the Holy Spirit happens. It's always everybody that wanted it got it. Everybody there. So, including women. Because it tells us in chapter 1, listen to this. It tells us in chapter 1 who was there.
Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Mary, the mother of Jesus, was a Pentecostal tongue-talking lady. Because she was there. How you like that? That's good, isn't it?
That's good.
Jesus' sisters were there, his brothers. Everybody that wrote the New Testament was there, except Paul, and he got it later. How about that? Yeah. I like you asking questions, by the way, so thank you.
Oh, I gotta know.
Okay, good. That's how you get stuff. Yeah.
Here. Okay. Jews don't believe in Jesus being the Messiah.
Correct.
Okay.
Right, but most of them don't.
Most
yeah.
of them
yeah.
don't. Okay, great.
Because Peter was a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
But the Jews as a whole didn't.
Jews as a whole.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. So when they were here, all the disciples were at this event.
Yeah.
Pentecost.
Yeah.
Okay, so it fell on all of them, not just the disciples, right? Like all the people that were there.
It fell on everybody. Now, was it just you're talking about the disciples. You might be talking about the 11.
They were there, correct?
Yeah.
So did it fall on just when the Holy Spirit fell? Did it fall on everybody that was there at that?
Everybody that was following Jesus that were meeting in that house. Not all the unbelievers from the crowd. Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, that's what I'm asking. Yeah. Just the believers.
Correct. Okay, yeah, good question. Thank you. And you brought up another thing I want to say. So in verse, well, it talks about how everybody starts speaking in tongues, which is weird. That's weird. I mean, I do it and it's weird. I'm just telling you it's weird. It is. It's awesome, but I wonder, like, why did you pick that? Like, but anyway, I love it. So anyway, the scene is they all start speaking in tongues in this house and it creates a ruckus. And people outside hear it and they come thinking, like, what is this all about? And they start saying, maybe they're drunk. So it was a rowdy event, evidently. But it says that they could all hear them. If you look down in verse 11, I'm going to skip. It just says, we hear them speaking in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. So the people speaking in tongues did not know what they were saying. But what they were doing is, what are you doing when you're speaking the wonderful works of God? What's that called? Praise and worship. They were worshiping. That's one of the things you're doing when you speak in tongues, is you're praising God in a way that goes beyond your natural ability. You ever been in a situation where you just are so thankful and grateful and you want to praise the Lord and you're just running out of words in English? That's one of the things it's for. You don't have to be limited by your vocabulary. Mm-hmm. That's another use for it. Yes. Romans 8:26. That's right. And it says they were all perplexed and they said, whatever could this be? And others mocking said they were full of new wine. Verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day, or it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. I'm going to just read the very first sentence of this. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. So I want to take care of a couple of misconceptions right here with this one verse. The people speaking in tongues were worshiping God. Right? They were declaring the wonderful works of God. They were worshiping. And it drew a crowd. And then Peter stood up and started preaching the gospel in a language they could understand. Aramaic or whatever it was. Greek. Okay? I've heard people say, the reason I'm saying this, is one of the arguments I've heard that people use to say we don't speak in tongues, they'll say they just needed to do this so that they could preach the gospel to foreigners. But nobody's preaching the gospel in tongues in this story. They're worshiping God. And it draws a crowd, and then Peter preaches the gospel to them in a regular language. Does that make sense? So, the argument that we don't need this and it's only for missionaries in a foreign land doesn't have any ground. They were using this to worship God. Well, we can use it to worship God. Yes.
But also, sometimes I've been in certain situations. I haven't been gifted to speak in tongues yet, but I've been able to interpret.
Okay.
I always feel like, you know, sometimes, even though that is a form of worship, but it's also like for God to speak too. You know, mm-hmm. when he's speaking, you know, if somebody's speaking in tongues, they may not just be worshiping, it may be a message from the Lord.
It might be.
Because, I don't know, I've just, like I said, what I've been realizing lately is somebody speaks in tongues, but there's always going to be somebody in the room that can interpret. So.
Very good. Thank you.
That's something different, though.
Well, yeah, but that's all included.
It's
so.
Included, but it's a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, no, it kind of is, but it's kind of just, you know, going off what this was Peter interpreting,
yeah.
What Peter did, you know, just interpreting, you know, what God was saying.
Yeah, yeah, very good. That's a good point. Another thing I want to say here is that another argument people bring against this experience is that it was only for back then and we don't need it now. Anybody ever heard that?
I've heard that.
Has anybody in here not heard that? Is a better way to ask that. Well, if you look at what Peter says, Peter's quoting the prophet Joel, and he says, as it shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out my spirit. He said, this is what's happening. In the last days, God will pour out his spirit. Well, let me ask you, speaking in tongues and the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for the last days, according to Peter. Right?
Man, you know he didn't know what he was talking about.
And he didn't know what he was talking about. He didn't. Yeah, that's funny. So, but if it's for the last days, are the last days over?
No.
Well, then it's still for now then. If we're still in that era, the
over,
last time.
If they're over, we got left behind, bro.
Yeah. And I didn't get left behind, so that's right. So anyway, these are questions I get a lot, or some things people say that are wrong. So it is for now, and it's not just for missionaries in foreign lands. It's for us when we want to praise the Lord. Any questions on any of this or other comments?
Well, Amy. Jesus himself said that these signs shall follow those who believe. So if you believe, you are one of those people.
Yeah.
And there's no time qualification of believers of this era or believers of all time.
Great point. That's the second thing on the list, yes?
So what does that mean if we don't speak in tongues and then we're
not? No.
That means you can have it.
That means it's available to you too.
It's available. Can I say something real
quick? Yeah.
I got saved when I was 18. And
how old were you?
Here we go. And I had no church upbringing. Okay? And so then I was completely, goes back to the point you said earlier, there was nothing I could earn it. There's nothing, because I literally changed in a moment. Then the scripture came alive to me. That's a whole other part of the testimony. But so I remember kind of hearing then all this about religion. What, I mean, I didn't know what Jewish was. I didn't know what Catholic was. I didn't know any denomination. I didn't know anything. This is a while back. And I would hear the stuff in culture about tongues and no tongues, all that kind of stuff. And churches that were around, not that I went to, I remember hearing, oh, it doesn't happen now. And then I remember over the years learning and being part of church then that people would speak about, not during service, I'm sure, or anything, but they would talk, people must have been talk about my sister spoke about. And she's gotten saved within 2 weeks of being in a part of the country. Anyway, and it was weird. And I was like, really? But I knew my sister. She's not a liar. She's not crazy. So then I started just kind of saying, okay, Lord, I want that. That had happened for years. And it wasn't until 12 years ago that it was in the middle of the night, I was laying there, and it was something where I just kind of believed, and it wasn't until I was praying, Lord, this is my time, and he was telling me, not an audible voice, okay, you go. Do say something. And I was like, oh, man. That takes faith.
Yeah.
And so I started, like, under my breath, kind of without, and all of a sudden I knew I was speaking in tongues, but without a voice. You know, like, I know this sounds really weird, but then I'm like, oh my gosh, but is that, and I didn't want to stop. So it's so amazing, but I'm like, but if I use my voice, will it continue? You know what I mean? And then I did. And it was just 12 years ago. And I'm not doing that. You're not doing that. So it was a few years before I got saved. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Longer. So I mean, it was just, I remember though, when I was, real quick, I was like 26, my husband and I were in Europe, and friends of ours who I knew in college when I got saved were there, and they were saying, have you got it? You know, it's for you now, and all of a sudden, I didn't understand baptism was very, I wasn't educated about it. I didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
I'd never been talked about, and I heard all this stuff, and so I didn't even know what they were talking about. Baptism was Holy Spirit. I'm a Christian, I have the Holy Spirit in me, that whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I was saved, and then I kind of dismissed that. Now I look back and go, God, they were right. But I just wasn't ready to realize I could have had it then, but it was weird at the time.
And see, I have a similar experience, but I was saved when I was about 8 years old, and so I'm 18 now.
Yeah.
So there. But no, I got baptized with the Holy Spirit when I was 36. But I was a Christian for those 28 years.
Yeah.
I was just missing out on something that was awesome because I didn't believe it. People had told me it was wrong.
You need to address what she said.
What's that?
I don't know if she heard that. She
said that because if you don't speak in tongues, does that mean you're not a Christian?
Absolutely not.
That's not true.
Yeah, that's false.
Don't let anybody ever tell you that.
That's right.
Now, no one's told me that. Okay. I don't know.
But I can see that. People say that stuff sometimes. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I was I'm trying to think when I got married. I think I was 38 or something.
Long ago.
And I was probably 35, 36. And
you said
I never. I was sprinkled. Okay. And when I got baptized, it was after I got married to my wife. And I was baptized.
You mean by immersed in water?
I was immersed in water.
Okay.
And when I came up, I was expecting to hear all the angels going, woo, and all that kind of stuff, and light and everything. Nothing. I just was wet. And I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to dry off? I got all these wet clothes on. And not until just about a year or two ago is when I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So that's a long time. But I was still a Christian. I knew I was still a Christian. And I didn't know about the baptism of the Holy Spirit until I came here. I knew what it was. I read it in the Bible. But I didn't really know all about it until I came here and learned about it.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you, Francis. That was good. Yeah. Let me ask this. Yeah. If you have received the baptism with the Holy Spirit and you received it the same day you became a Christian, raise your hand. There you go. It's rare. I've only met one person.
Okay. I
grew
up in a Pentecostal Holiness church and it happened to her.
Okay.
You know, I've heard stories. I wasn't there.
Okay.
You know.
I know one person personally that happened to. It was about 20 minutes after she got saved that she got baptized with the Holy Spirit.
It's because somebody taught her.
Because somebody told her and she didn't have all this wrong teaching that she would not want to receive it.
It should happen that way. Though,
it should happen.
Because it happened to the 3,000.
It did. Yep.
Wasn't this long drawn
out? It could. There's no reason it can't happen other than
long drawn out spirit class. You know?
Yeah, right.
Bam.
Yep.
Then he got baptized. The
yeah.
Same day, right?
They didn't have 2,000 years of bad doctrine to overcome.
Exactly.
So that's right.
Amen.
I just want to make sure I'm getting this correct.
Yeah.
It's just basically the baptism of the Holy Spirit is just receiving the Holy Spirit, correct? And
so. Thank you for asking that. So, my artwork leaves something to be desired, so I'm going to just use circles, okay? So, if this is a human being, and that pen doesn't work, that when you become a Christian, the day you believe in Jesus, the second you believe, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. This is whether or not you're got this thing we're talking about tonight. When you become a Christian, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. One Bible verse on this, if you're writing stuff down, is 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says, "He who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him." Okay? There's a bunch of verses on this. Now, we're going to see in a minute that in several places in the Bible, there are people that believe in Jesus and they get saved and the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of them, but they still haven't received this power that Jesus is talking about. It's a separate thing for a different purpose. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you, He starts bringing, growing like fruit. You ever heard of the fruit of the Spirit? What are some fruit of the Spirit?
Joy.
Love, joy, peace. So He starts developing these things inside of you that are, if you're choosing to cooperate, they start being displayed on the outside of you. You also have them inside of you talking to you and helping you and teaching you and leading you if you're willing to participate, you know. But what this thing we're talking about tonight is that to give you power to represent Jesus in a way that you couldn't before. Okay? So also another misconception is that this makes you better than somebody else or more advanced or whatever else. All it means is you picked up the power tool out of the van so that you can hammer the nails in better. That's huge.
Don't shoot yourself in the foot.
So, for example, when I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, it helped me be a better teacher. But it didn't make me better than another teacher. It made me better at it than I was. Okay? Does that make sense? It makes you better off than you were before, not better than somebody else. That's another misconception. So, the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to give you supernatural power. It's when you speak in tongues.
And this is for our parents.
Yes.
That differentiation will be handled.
That will be handled. Okay, so we have read the first story where we get, this is probably where we have the most detail. The next story we have very little detail, but there is one important point I like to make in this one. It's in Acts chapter 8. I want to thank you guys for your questions and your comments. It's very awesome to have a discussion. So we all learn from each other. Yes.
What did you just say? The evidence that you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what we're talking about, the evidence that you receive it is that you actually speak in another language. You speak in tongues.
You speak in a language you don't know.
You know you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. No, we're not talking about water. You were asking some great questions. So, yes, you are. Because these are things that are probably a lot of people in here are wondering about, but they just don't speak up. So, this is a very, very good question. It's a very important point because there's a lot of misunderstanding. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And what the Bible talks about is that when Jesus died on the cross, when we get saved, it's like we're identified with Him, that He died and He rose from the dead to new life. And that's kind of the way it's represented with us, that we have died to our old way and we have a new life inside of us now. And then people would baptize people in water as an outward display of what had happened on the inside of them. So it's like symbolic of dying and coming back like that. Okay? And that's just a symbolic thing that you do to show that you're identifying yourself with this process. Okay? But that is totally unrelated to getting baptized with the Holy Spirit.
So what's baptized with the Holy Spirit?
Baptized with the Holy Spirit is when He comes on you with and gives you supernatural power to demonstrate, to represent Jesus more effectively.
That's
it's like getting...
doing it on His own.
What's that?
Well, how does that happen?
Speaking of tongues. Well, there's a variety of ways that happen in the Bible. Sometimes people were told about it and they received it. Sometimes it just happened spontaneously. Okay? I had to be told about it and someone prayed for me and helped me receive it. But Teresa received it riding in her car singing along to gospel music on the radio. So we have... somebody prayed for her before that. And I'm going to give an opportunity at the end that anybody wants it will receive it tonight. So we're going to do that at the end.
Okay.
All right? Yes.
Does tongues always come at the same time, though?
When you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're given the power to do that.
What was the question?
She said, does tongues always come with it at the same time? Yes. You are given that ability the moment that you get baptized with the Holy Spirit.
Well, it's not always that second. Sometimes you have to get a line with the Lord. And like in my case, I was praying.
Mm-hmm.
Before I was on my knees, put everything else out of my head, and just had a picture of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the language started to come.
Yeah.
But the language for me, I just want to make sure that I'm understanding what
okay.
you're saying.
Yeah.
The minute you're praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that is next.
No, that means God is saying, here you go, and then you have a responsibility. You have to reach out and take it. And the way you do that is when you start speaking in tongues. So when you ask Him that...
It's a confirmation that you know you've taken that gift.
Yes. That's how you take it. Yep. That's the way you reach out and grab it.
It's an act of faith.
It's an act of faith.
Meet you when you step into that.
Very good point.
So until you start speaking in tongues is when you have the baptism.
Yes. That's right.
I think I'm being led to ask you to say one more time what you said a couple of weeks ago about the being saved. the simple statement of being saved. You don't have to be an immersed in
it. Yeah, okay, good.
I think it'd be a good thing to see.
That's good. All right, so to get, and we're going to read it in this chapter. To get saved according to Jesus is that you believe in Jesus. And that's it. That's all of, you fulfilled every requirement. We quoted the verse at the beginning of the night, Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been righteousified by faith, we have peace with God. So God gets to make the rules because he made everything and he's in charge. And the rule, the way he could have said, everybody that can do 100 sit-ups gets to go to heaven. Or he could have picked anything he wanted to. Now that's ridiculous, but I'm doing that on purpose. But what he picked was, if you believe in my son, then you're in my family forever. And you've met every requirement. Because I will count Jesus' goodness towards you, towards your account. Okay? So to, and then after that happens, you can choose to be baptized in water or not. Remember when Jesus was crucified, there was a thief on the left and on the right. Remember this story? And one of the thieves was mocking Jesus, and the other one said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Right? You familiar with this story? So there was three crosses. Jesus is in the middle, and one of the thieves on the cross believed in Jesus. And Jesus made this statement to him, today you will be with me in paradise. But they never baptized that guy in water. That guy never had any ministry. His whole life of service was hanging there like this for another 45 minutes. Like he had nothing to offer, which is, I believe, why that example is in the Bible. You don't have to bring nothing. He wants you to be in his family, and he's making it as easy as possible. That is awesome.
Can I throw something in here, Bob?
Yeah.
It seems like on this subject material here, I've seen down through the years, it's like a line drawn in the sand. And it's really, it should never be held in a negative connotation, because you get to receive the Holy Spirit.
Correct. Yes.
Well, do I have to have it? Or right. Do I got it? Do I need it? Jesus gave a command. He commanded them. He didn't really make it optional. He's like, you guys need dynamite. I'm sending you to change the world. And you're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost. They're like, okay, Lord.
Yep.
We followed you this far. So they hung out there. They got, it might have been 10 days because it took them 10 days to get in one mind and one accord. So they had to get their head right. You know, whatever. But it was 10 days.
Yeah.
And then they received it. It's awesome. It's great. It's like getting saved. You know, it's fantastic. Get saved. But then you get hooked up with the Lord in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Which is, it's a benefit. It's a turbocharger.
To me, it's like I just found out I have air conditioning in my car.
It's lovely.
Like, it's just like, man, why didn't I do this a long time ago?
Yeah.
Like what?
Like, I just found out there's air conditioning in my car. You know, or like, wow, I have a remote control for my TV. I don't have to get up and walk over there every time. Or, you know, it's not like, do I have to use the remote control? Do I have to turn on the air conditioner? It's not like that. It's like, man, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And it is awesome.
Like I need it.
Jesus doesn't give us stuff that's lame.
No. We need it.
All right. So we're in Acts chapter 8. Persecution is breaking out against the Christian church. It says, therefore, this is verse 4, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord, so they were shopping at the same dealership, I guess. That, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Just a side comment. This is God's idea of seeker sensitive. This is how people got saved. This is an evangelistic meeting.
I'll never be able to read that verse again the same way. I'll never, because of the accord.
Okay. All right, so it says, Come down to verse 12. But when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Okay? So these people believed, and then what they did was, if people have believed and become saved, they would baptize them in water. That was just their thing. That's what they did. So these people get saved in verse 12. Then in verse 14 it says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem, Jerusalem is about 40 miles away from where this is going down. So when the apostles who were 40 miles away heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. All right. So these people get saved in verse 12, and then the news has to travel 40 miles by foot to Jerusalem, and then the apostles have to travel 40 miles back. So how long would that take, would you think? What's the least amount of time that could take?
You're walking 4 miles.
Walking 40 miles each way.
If you're walking 4 miles an hour.
So 20 hours of walking.
4 days.
Something like that. So we know that it was at least a couple of days in between when these people got saved and when they got baptized with the Holy Spirit. So this is proof beyond any doubt that it's not the same thing as getting saved. If the Bible means anything to you. Questions on that? All right, I'm moving quickly because I'm going to pray and we're going to have some people get baptized in the Holy Spirit tonight. The next one is in Acts chapter 10. To summarize this story, Peter is a Jew, and the Jews were very racist. That's the way I want to put it. They would not deal with Gentiles. They did not want to be around them. And Peter is no different. And they thought, we have the stuff, and you guys are left out in the cold. And God had to send three visions, a visit from an angel, and a word from the Holy Spirit to get Peter to walk into this house that he's about to walk into. To walk into the house of a Gentile, and he did not even want to be there. And so Peter comes in and he starts preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it says, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed, or the Jews, were astonished, as many that came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. And Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. All right. These are Gentiles who had never heard of Jesus. Peter comes in and tells them about Jesus, and they believe it, and they get baptized with the Holy Spirit like 1 second later. So this right here is a powerful point. The only prerequisite or the only requirement to get baptized with the Holy Spirit is that you're a Christian for at least 1 second. There's no waiting, begging, fasting, working hard, cleaning out your house, whatever stuff people tell you. You don't have to wait 1 second. You don't have to do anything. That's a powerful point. It's a free gift. It's completely free of charge. It's not a reward for doing things good. It's not a reward for years of Christian service. It's not a badge that you wear demonstrating Christian maturity and knowledge of the Scriptures. Again, these guys just heard of Jesus for the first time.
So what's it a reward for?
It's not a reward. It's a power tool to help you do stuff better. Yeah.
Neil, but, you know, Cornelius, he was really hungry for God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his resume was pretty smoking.
Yep. He knew there was something he was missing.
Yeah, he prayed all the time. He was really seeking God to the point where God dispatched an angel.
Yep.
Same for Peter.
Yep.
So, you know, revival happens when somebody's seeking God and somebody is listening to God to go to the person that's seeking God. Sometimes we're just dealing with people that God ain't even dealing with. And we're wondering, where's the revival? It was all God put the whole thing together.
So the baptism of the Holy Spirit is free and available now to anybody that wants it.
True.
If you want it and you have become a Christian, then you qualify. But he will not force it on you if you don't want it.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Another benefit is that if you're praying for somebody and you don't know what to pray for, you can pray in the Spirit. When you're praying in the Spirit, there's power coming out. And the Holy Spirit is working through that prayer. And it's a perfect prayer because our brains aren't perfect and we don't know. But when we're praying in the Spirit, it's coming from the Holy Spirit through us. And we are declaring the things that only God knows.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, very nice. Awesome.
That's good.
I'd like to share really quickly.
Yeah.
When I was a young guy, I was raised Pentecost.
Okay.
So I knew all about it.
Okay.
Then my family got out of church when I was like in sixth grade.
Okay.
I was really happy about it at the time, but it wasn't a good thing after that because I got messed up in a lot of stuff.
Okay.
But at 17, I started going to church. God started dealing with my heart. And I knew about the Holy Ghost, so I wanted the Holy Ghost. And I was going to a church where you had to have the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, but you didn't have it, you know? So I read this book, that book, mm-hmm. that book, but I knew it was in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a while just to receive it.
Yeah.
Because I was fasting and praying and trying to earn it, you know? Doing all this stuff.
Right.
I mean, to the umph degree.
Yeah.
And finally, one night, I just received it. God just gave it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to work through all that legalism.
Yeah, you know? That's it.
Yeah.
You can't, if you try to earn, if you get in the line to earn stuff, then you're not in the line for the free stuff.
Exactly.
And this is free. This is free.
And don't not take it because you're afraid.
Right.
And don't not take it because you think, oh, it's not going to happen. Although your fear, that's...
Yeah. Right, I'm going to look at the last one that we have in the Bible. This is in Acts chapter 19. This is about 20 or 30 years after the first one that we read tonight. So decades have passed. And it's interesting to see the attitude that they have about it even 20 or 30 years later. All right, so this is Acts chapter 19. I'm going to begin at verse 1. As it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed?" So what's the first thing Paul asks people when he thinks they're Christians? 30 years later.
Did he receive the Holy Spirit?
The first thing he wants to know, "You're a Christian? Have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit yet?" Like, that's how he thought. He knew it was important. It's the second most important thing. The first most important thing is believing in Jesus and receiving eternal life. Now, these are not chores. These are gifts.
And it's not for a certain moment. It's not like I received it that day. This is something for you to use every
yes,
day.
Yes, every day. All right. It will.
He wants it to happen. And all these signs and wonders will follow.
That's right. It's just more proof that this is something God wants to give you. Your Father wants to give you stuff to help you. Thank you, Susan. Verse 2 again, it says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you first believed? And they said, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now that's a weird thing for somebody to say if they're a Christian. We didn't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. What are you talking about? So Paul asked the same question I would at this point. He says, well then what are you believing in? What baptism are you in? Like, what are you? Whose disciples are you? They said, we're disciples of John the Baptist. So we'll read this. He said, into what baptism were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And so Paul said, well, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that we should believe on him who would come after them, after him, that is, on Jesus Christ. So Paul says, okay, you guys were disciples of John the Baptist. I understand now. And you remember that John the Baptist went around talking about someone that was coming after him. Well, let me tell you that someone did come after him, and his name is Jesus. And so Paul starts telling them about Jesus. Verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they believe. Paul preaches the gospel to them, and they believe. And then Paul takes them down and baptizes them into whatever, I guess in a lake or river, whatever's nearby. Verse 6, and then when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were 12, were about 12 in all. So here again, they get saved, then Paul baptizes them in water, and however long that takes is how long they were a Christian before they were baptized with the Holy Spirit. So let's say at least 5 minutes, or however long it took them to go find some water. But again, it's just a separate thing. It's a separate thing from becoming a Christian. But Paul's attitude, Paul who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, his attitude was, if you're a Christian, then the next thing I'm asking you is, did you get baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because your Father wants you to have power so that you can overcome, so that you have equipment. He doesn't want to send you out and you have to do it and be so hard. He wants to help you. This is for you. All right. Yes.
Is that where that word dunamis comes, fits in right here too?
Power, yeah. It's power. All right. So right now, for anybody that wants to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you want it, then I'm going to lead you through it, and you will receive it. And it will be, and you'll walk out of this room with it. And you'll have new power that you didn't have before. That sound good? This is awesome. All right. Now, I don't know who all in here has this, doesn't have it, wants it, doesn't want it. But if you have received it, let me ask you to do me a favor and participate in these exercises so people don't feel like people are looking at them. Is that okay?
Yep.
Okay.
Don't feel like people are what?
Looking at them or listening to what they're doing.
We're going to be looking.
Right. Yeah. All right. I'm going to read two scriptures to you, both to help explain why I'm going to lead you the way I am. The first one is in Luke chapter 11. Jesus is telling people how to pray, and he says this, I say to you, ask, and it will be given. He doesn't say ask, and it might be given. Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be open. And if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? He's saying, if you ask your Father in heaven, if you ask your Father even on earth for something good, is he going to give you something bad? Then Jesus says this, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The whole point of this whole thing right here is to give you confidence that when you ask, the answer is going to be yes. Every time. When you ask God to baptize you with the Holy Spirit, the answer is going to be an immediate yes. I would love to. Okay? Now, we're going to do this in two parts. The first part is when we ask, we let him know, Father, I want to receive everything you have for me. And he's going to say yes. Then the next part I'm going to lead us through is how we reach out and take what he's handing to us. Does that make sense? So this is going to be two parts. The first part goes like this. I would ask everybody to repeat after me. I'm just going to pray this prayer, okay? If you have received it already, if you don't mind, just participate. So here we go.
Dear Heavenly Father,
I believe your word. And I believe this is for me. So I ask you tonight, baptize me with the Holy Spirit and power. And I receive it. Every good gift. You have for me. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So if you ask that for the first time tonight, just to picture your Father in heaven saying, yes, I would love to give you this. I want you to have this. All right. So now we're going to do our part of reaching up to take what our Father's giving us. And I base this off of John chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. It says this, on that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart or innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And by this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. It says here that if you are thirsty, come to him and drink. And when you do, living water is going to come back out of your inside. And it says by that he was talking about the Holy Spirit. We are going to symbolize drinking in from Jesus by taking a deep breath in and letting it back out. And I'm going to lead us through this, okay? So the first is going to be a practice run, where we come to Jesus and breathe in three times and we exhale three times. And on your third exhale, all this is to help you act on your faith. So when we practice on our third exhale, we're going to just make a sigh that's loud enough for you to hear yourself. Like, it doesn't have to be loud. You just need to make an audible sound. Okay? So we're going to do that together. So let's come to Jesus and drink in the first time. And breathe out. Let's come to Jesus and drink a second time. And breathe out. Let's come and drink a third time. And then make your sigh as you exhale. Now, Holy Spirit, I thank you for your manifest presence in this room, like you always do every time we do this. I thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Okay. So now we're going to do this, and this is the real one. We're going to come and drink three times, and on your third exhale, when you breathe out and you make that sigh, you're going to take a step of faith, like Peter stepping out of the boat, and you're going to start making whatever sounds come to you, whatever comes to mind. Anything except English or any other language that you know. So if you speak Spanish, don't start speaking Spanish. The goal is for you to make sounds by faith that you don't understand. It's by faith, not by logic. Does that make sense? And when you trust God and do that, He will meet you right there and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is you reaching up and taking what your Father is handing you freely. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
So we're going to do this, and some people are about to get baptized with the Holy Spirit, and it's awesome. Yes. All right. So let's all come to Jesus and drink the first time. And breathe out. Let's drink in a second time. And breathe out. Let's breathe in a third time. Drink in from Jesus. Now exhale, make your sigh, and start to speak by faith.